The future may not be clear, but our commitment is. So when you sit with an advisor at Merrill Lynch, we'll put your interests first. Visit ml.com and learn more about Merrill Lynch, an affiliate of Bank of America. Merrill Lynch makes available products and services offered by Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC.
A soaring default rate on repayment of federal student loans.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Millions of parents have taken out loans from the federal government to help their children pay for college. The Wall Street Journal says hundreds of thousands of those loans have fallen into delinquency and or default. Getting a college loan from the government is easy, but repayment is another story, according to the Journal's Josh Mitchell, who joins us from Washington. Josh, we're talking about loans from an education department program, aren't we?
Yes, it's a program called Parent Plus, and basically what's happened is college tuition has become so high and college costs in general, including living expenses, have become so high that there are an increasing number of students who can't take out enough loans on their own to cover those expenses. So now the government is saying, we'll give your parents some loan debt so that they can cover the gap. And so this is becoming an increasingly big program. It basically gives loans to the parents, and then those parents use that money to cover their children's college tuition and or living expenses while they're in college.
How many outstanding loans through Parent Plus are there?
There's between 3 and 3.5 million parents in the United States right now who currently owe a Parent Plus loan. The total amount is about $77.5 billion. Billion with a B. So, you know, a lot of these parents, they owe, you know, $20,000, $30,000 or more. I've talked to some parents who owe $80,000 or even more than that. There's no cap on how much the parent can borrow. It's basically they borrow as much as the schools charge. So it gives a lot of pricing power to these schools, and these parents can borrow whatever amount is needed to cover the tuition at these schools.
And isn't the problem that the borrowing standards are so loose?
Yeah, so this is one of the more troublesome aspects, according to critics of this program, is that you're giving, in some cases, huge amounts of debt to people who have no hope of repaying it. One of the statistics that I came across when I was reporting on this story is that a third of these loans in recent years went to families who qualify for Pell Grants. Pell Grants basically is a college aid program that goes to families, most of whom have a household income of about $25,000 or less. So basically, this is saying that a lot of these loans are going to households that make very little, in some cases, no money at all. But the government does not look at income to debt thresholds. It doesn't look at what your credit score is. It doesn't look at what your past repayment history is in general. There are some standards. So, for example, if you filed for bankruptcy in the past 5 years, you won't qualify for this type of loan. But if you filed for bankruptcy 10 years ago, or if you are jobless and unemployed, if you're 60 years old and heading into retirement and have no savings, you can still get this loan. And there are, in fact, people who are in those who match that description, who are still getting loans.
How many loans are at least in a state of delinquency?
So I must start by saying there's not a lot of transparent data on this program. The data is on this program is kind of tucked in with overall data on student debt, and so it's hard to break out how these loans are performing versus other types of federal student loans. What I can say is that there's about 330,000 parents who are in default, and the government defines default as having gone a full year without making a payment on a loan.
So that's not just delinquency, it's default.
It's default, and that's a very low threshold for it. That's a very high threshold. So you could be 6 months behind, and you're technically not in default under the government's definition. So that's 330,000 parents. That's about, you know, as I said, 3 million overall. So that's, you know, a little bit more than 10% of everyone with a Parent Plus loan are in default. Then beyond that, you have a lot of people, another 180,000 or so, that are maybe a month behind or 3 months behind or up to a year behind. So there's a lot of people who are falling behind, and some experts who look at these programs and some members of Congress are saying this is the tip of the iceberg, because a lot of these parents took out loans in the past 5 years or so, and now, you know, they're going to start entering the repayment cycle, and a lot of them are going to have trouble repaying it.
I'm speaking with Josh Mitchell of the Wall Street Journal. He's joining us from Washington, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
Looking for an easy way to advance your career or improve your business? Download an audiobook. At Penguin Random House Audio, we publish best-selling business books, often read by the author. Receive expert advice as you go about your daily routine. Listen to an audiobook as you commute, travel for business, or work out. Visit tryaudiobooks.com/WSJ for a free full download and listening suggestions.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Josh, why is Parent Plus making so many loans to people who are basically subprime borrowers?
That's a very good question, because those are the people who generally lack the savings to help their kids pay for college, and they also lack access to private credit markets. During the first decade of the 2000s, we saw this big lending spree, whether it was mortgages or whether it was student loans or auto loans. And so back then, you know, some of these parents could qualify for private student loans even when they had shaky credit, and so they wouldn't have to turn to the Parent Plus program. But now, since the housing crash, private lenders, whether it's in housing or in autos or in student loans, they've really increased their underwriting standards so that you have to have pretty good credit in order to qualify for a private student loan. So it's almost ironic that the people that need these loans the most are in many cases the people that are least likely to repay. The argument for this program, I need to state this among supporters, is that if you don't give these parents access to these loans, their children might not be able to go to their school of their choice. And that's what these schools are saying. There was actually an effort by the Obama administration to tighten underwriting standards in 2011, and they eventually rolled them back because you had a lot of schools that serve minority students who are disproportionately, you know, coming from disadvantaged, poor backgrounds. And these schools said, if you deny them access to this program, they're not going to be able to cover our tuition, and we're going to have to reject them, and you're going to hurt them in the long run. So it's a really big dilemma right now about how to help these families get into colleges if they don't have access to the credit to pay for it.
Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell, who joins us from Washington, thank you very much for being with us.
Sure, thank you.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
Ambition comes with earbuds. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.